Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome back to Even More News.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, hello. My name's Katie Stoll.
Hello, Katie Stoll. Cody Johnston.
Happy Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, everybody.
Cool.
There's a lot to be said about this holiday. We have law enforcement, and they like to be appreciated. And I guess that
you're being so diplomatic.
The main. I don't want to offend anybody. I know we've got a lot of cops listening.
Sure.
And this is the. Did you guys know that cops listen to this podcast?
I didn't know that.
It's like the podcast of cops.
I didn't know that. We should make sure it's the podcast of cops.
The podcast of cops. The cop cast, if you will.
Pod cops.
What are you going to do? How about we start by thanking Skillshare, right? For supporting Even More News?
We might as well.
Yeah. So thank you, Skillshare, for supporting Even More News, whose listeners, our listeners,
that's you.
Get 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. And all you guys have to do is go to Skillshare.com/news. Take note of this new URL. The promo code has changed. So Skillshare.com/news.
So you're welcome, law enforcement, for your two free months.
Yeah, you guys, that's how we show we appreciate you. Let's talk about what everyone's talking about, because, you know, we got to chime in. This address the president gave last night.
Oh, is everyone talking about it?
Should they be talking about it? They probably shouldn't. So I guess we'll just skip this whole page of writing I've made.
Well, because we postponed recording this because we were like, well, he's going to speak and maybe he'll declare a national emergency.
Right.
So
I'd like to think that he was debating that right up till the last minute, right before he went on.
There were a couple stories leaked yesterday or last night that not that he was planning on doing the national emergency, but that he didn't want to do the speech.
Follow that instinct.
Yeah. And then he didn't, because he has that trip. He's doing that trip to like Texas to the border. And,
right.
Like,
that's actually a photo op.
But he apparently, amidst a bunch of people, one of them was, I believe, Governor Cuomo.
Okay.
Said that he didn't want to do the speech, didn't want to do the trip, didn't think they would help, thought they were a waste of his time.
Yeah.
And wouldn't like move the needle either way.
Waste of everybody's time.
Good instincts. That's what I've always said about President Trump, is that he has
that
good
he
instincts.
Has those solid good instincts.
And he should follow them. Like, this isn't going to move the needle, buddy.
Right. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, last night, the president
congratulations.
Wasted, congrats. Skip through this section. Now, if you want to know, he wasted everybody's time by interrupting primetime television to deliver an emergency address about the manufactured emergency at the border and say absolutely nothing that he hasn't already said. It was very fun and pleasant to watch.
Yeah, it was fun and pleasant.
I'm kidding, it wasn't. I immediately wanted to stick a knife through my eye.
Like
I didn't.
Everyone, all of his aides apparently are like, well, he stayed on teleprompter and he didn't like flub any
words.
The first thing he said was, I am a speaking.
And I thought, did I hear that wrong? Nope, I didn't hear it wrong. I've listened several times. Yeah. I'm speaking. He's so bad at reading the teleprompter.
He's not a good reader.
Like, yeah, he made it through and he didn't go off prompter, but he looked like he was dying as he did it.
Yeah, it was a tough time.
We watched the MSNBC coverage, which is actually pretty good, and I think they handled it responsibly.
Yeah.
The half hour leading up to it, they broke down all the points, the lies that he might make, you know, or arguments he did. And just in the first three lines, we're literally like...
Yeah.
The lies that they pointed out.
Yeah, they did a really good job. It was Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
Basically, like, here's what he always says.
People have their thoughts about Rachel Maddow, and I understand, especially with the Russia stuff, but, like, she is very articulate, and she does communicate things in a way that's digestible and to the point.
It was
she
really
breaks
sharp.
Stuff down really well.
They did a good job. And, like, compared to, like, Anderson Cooper, who's, like, hosting a show and, like, the Chiron says, like, awaiting president's address, and they're just waiting for it. And like, no, you need to, like, give
do
context.
Do something
and, like,
with this time.
Here's what he always says. Here are the things that he says. Here's this lie he says about heroin, where drugs come from, and all this stuff.
Just buying into the drama of it.
Yeah,
like,
as if nothing has happened in the past 4 years.
A lot of people are rightly upset that this even happened. President Obama tried to make an address about immigration and they turned him down because they said it would be too political and yet this isn't. But if you're going to do it, then you at least need to do it responsibly.
Yeah.
That makes me crazy. Also, I mean, a lot of people were like pretty thrilled with the Schumer-Pelosi response.
Really?
I mean, first of all, yeah, I've only heard positive things. And like, I don't think they did. I mean, they said some important stuff, sure, but they didn't say enough. Like, they literally could have. And I tweeted this and people were like, oh, there's not enough time. They could have taken 30 seconds and just rattled off the list of lies that the president just said. And people are like, oh, they wouldn't have enough time. Name five. Just say, like, put it out there, because I don't care. Even if people are on the fence and they think the president isn't a good guy and whatever, they're still absorbing some of this, and some of it sounds like fact to them, and it isn't fact at all.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of a border crisis is just a lie.
Right. You can, like, I mean, let's get into some of that. I mean, for example, the border crossings are currently at the lowest rate they've ever been. And that's not because of him. They've been declining anyway. Yeah, because
for more than a decade, they've been going down.
Yeah. That right there is a very simple fact that they kind of stated,
right?
You know,
and thousands of terrorists coming over, six people who have been on the terror watch list, which also doesn't mean that they are terrorists,
right?
You can be on the terror watch list for actually any reason, technically.
Interesting. I hope we're not on the terror watch list.
We appreciate our law enforcement.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys, the cops that are listening. We never do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Totally. Or just the fear mongering about drugs, saying that illegal border crossings are a big gateway for drugs. That's not true. Most drugs are apprehended or like come through ports of entry.
Yeah.
They come via air.
On planes. That can go over
borders? Walls.
Barriers.
Fences.
Steel.
They can go through all of them.
Yeah. They can't mount steel beams, but they can go over steel beams.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm. See? So these are all some facts that they could have laid out pretty quickly.
Yeah. And also, we didn't need both of them. Also, like...
also, the two of them behind that podium. Oh my God. Come on. They look like a little clown show. It's like, who's going to pop up from behind them?
And just their, like, scowls. It's like, my God.
Yeah. That was a little embarrassing.
It was one of those things where, like...
it's like their kid just told them they'd been knocked up.
Show some contrast. Like, you have this, like, angry dope who's scowling and talking about all this stuff. And then you, like, cut to two other people who look like angry dopes who are scowling.
Well, I don't know if they look like dopes.
And I'm not saying, like, it should have been AOC, although she did a great job when she was on MSNBC later.
Except she's polarizing and, you know.
And again, I'm not saying it should have been her, but, like, get it together, guys.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was some expected race baiting.
You gotta get that.
Gasped. Calling out, saying, like, African-Americans and Hispanics are the most hard hit from this because of the drugs coming into the country. First of all, like, you're pitting minorities against each other. Yeah, okay, African-American communities are hit hard. Some African-American communities by the drug epidemic and immigration. But, like, you're actually leaving around some racial implications by putting those together. Whereas, wait,
are you saying Donald Trump has racial implications?
Yeah, I am saying that. Okay. I am saying that. And I'm not seeing that many people talk about it either. Yeah. If you really want to talk about that, how about we talk about why the reason these communities have historically been systemically oppressed and why low-income communities in general have this influx of drugs.
We can't talk about
that. But we don't talk about that.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Just this general insinuation. Anyway.
Also, like, the fentanyl, like, the opioid stuff was weird to me, where it's like, you think Mexico has, like, forced pharmaceutical companies to push these drugs on people?
I feel like I read or heard somebody say, that he had tweeted about fentanyl being flown in from China or something.
Well,
I'm not going to quote that because that is just something I'm spewing out here in our conversation.
Sure, he's a crazy man.
Or I loved calling this a humanitarian crisis. Like, I actually don't understand his argument as to what the humanitarian crisis is.
Well, I think it's all those horror stories he told, where he's like, here are five stories of gruesome murders that I'm going to be telling you as the president on national television.
When the reality
to prove
is
a point, like,
that immigrants commit far, far less crimes than Americans do. And that makes sense because these are people that are coming here starting a new life. They're not, you know, like, of course, there's going to be some bad people here. There's tons of them, you know, in this group or
every
whatever.
Every group of people has criminals
in them. But the vast majority of people are seeking opportunity. They're not trying to mess that up.
Right. And the idea, I mean, I think this is something that, like, the Democrats and, like, the Schumers of the world aren't very adept at doing. Yeah. Even just basic things like, oh, it's a border crisis. No, it's not. Immigration to the border has gone down significantly over the past, you know, more than a decade. But, like, the idea that like, oh, all these people are, they're coming here illegally to commit crimes. If you're coming here illegally, you're going to not commit crimes.
Right.
Because if you do, then you're going to be deported because you're
right.
here illegally committing crimes. Like people that come here illegally don't commit as many crimes because they know that if they get caught, they'll have to leave. Like, it's just, it's a nonsense argument that makes no sense whatsoever. And it's so easy to just logically point out how that's
right.
not sensical, but they don't take the time, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why they don't take a moment.
And that's what kills me about this response. Like, yeah, they said a lot of some good things and they were political about it, but you have the nation watching. Mm. You've got, for the first time probably in a long time, you've got your average Trump voter
mm-hmm.
that might actually be watching you.
Yeah.
That's what kills me about it. Like,
right.
no, make it simple and like be to the point and to the fact. Say some of these sentences yeah. while you've got their attention.
It's very simple.
And I'm not one to rag on people as hard as you are.
Mm.
And I believe,
I agree with you completely.
I feel this so firmly.
Yeah.
Firmly?
Speaking deeply. Of the nation watching, our sniffly little president.
I know. What's he stuffing up that nose of his?
Well, so here's the thing. I think it's easy to be like, oh, he's like rails, it takes Adderall and stuff. And like people take Adderall for reasons that they need it and so on
yeah.
and so forth. He's the president. But if you look at the video.
Again, you don't take Adderall through your nose.
Also true. But also, so he's very sniffly, as we all know. And he's not a very good speaker or reader.
Yeah.
But if you look at the video, his eyes, his pupils are very dilated.
Cops, are you listening?
That's a symptom of, you know, amphetamines.
Yeah.
So not only are his pupils very, 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 very dilated, he's facing a camera with a bunch of lights pointed at him.
Yeah.
And when that happens, that's not what your pupils
right.
do. And it's like lights glaring at you. I know this. I do it every week or two. It's just... I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Just saying.
Just putting that out there.
We're not
connecting the dots. We're just putting the dots out.
And those dots are very big in his eyeballs.
Police who are listening.
Who we appreciate.
Who we appreciate very much, so much that we're giving them just information.
Just some leads.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, as a transition to talking about the shutdown, the real humanitarian crisis is what's happening to our government employees.
Yeah.
And services.
Also, the president doesn't know what humanitarian means.
Oh,
He's it wrong. He thought we should go into Libya and take half their oil for humanitarian reasons.
Yeah,
so
right.
He's an idiot.
So he needs that defined for him.
Yeah.
That might very well be true. He thinks humanitarian means saving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. No, I wanted to say this one thing because I said this to you last night and I keep seeing news anchors mentioning this. The idea that the Trump border wall only came about as a mnemonic device for remembering to come back to talking about immigration.
The story is that like they said, say build the wall if you don't know what you're gonna say.
Right.
Like if you feel lost or if like you're like, oh, I don't know, I can't get back on track, just say build the wall.
Right. And that might be true. That might be a tip they've given to get the crowd back again. But it's being passed off as this idea only surfaced because of that. And that's not true. Mm. People are like, yeah, you're probably right. He's probably been talking about it for a long time. No, he literally has been. Because I remember when I was in college or something, being home and everybody had been talking about the rumor that Donald Trump was threatening to run for president.
I love that.
And like, he wants to build a wall. And I remember laughing and saying, that fucking clown will never be president. And what does he think a wall is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to age myself, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So please, let's not latch on to that and keep running around and spreading that. Because, yeah, maybe it's a trick for him to get the crowd going. I'm sure that that's true. But let's not downplay this man's deep-seated racism.
Right.
Lifelong racism.
Right. It's not something he made up for them.
No.
And maybe, like, he, you know, kept hearing it and, like, thought it was, like, a good, catchy, like, idea that he would latch on to. But it's not new. It's
right.
not like he came up with it for this and is just saying it. There's a Futurama episode from, like, 2012, I think.
Yeah.
Where Nixon wants to build a wall around the earth.
Yeah.
And like, that didn't come from nowhere. This
right.
is like this is building a wall. This is an idea that's been out there for a
but
long time.
Not only it's
and,
been
and
out
for
there,
him specifically,
but
yes.
from him specifically. Like, that's where I've heard talk about a wall. And
yeah.
I'm sure other people have as well.
I'll look into it because I still have his old vlogs on a hard drive from the old days, which are actually like weirdly similar to his address to the nation.
Sure.
From his the Oval Office.
A messier office.
Just, yeah, and just like reading instead of coming up with it on the spot.
Yeah.
I wonder if he mentions the wall during that time.
Yeah, that sounds like
he definitely mentions
fun project.
Fun project? Definitely mentions the birth certificate stuff a lot.
All right, so now the real humanitarian crisis, or just the real crisis.
Or just something bad.
The bad
just
thing.
Just a bad thing going on.
Yeah, I can let go of that transition. the shutdown. Apparently Trump can relate to people not receiving their paychecks.
Because he doesn't take a paycheck for presidency.
Because he hasn't taken a paycheck mm-hmm. for presidency. Mm-hmm. That man has no idea. The only time he's had money withheld is when his dad grounded him from his $1 million allowance or something when he wasn't big enough of a dick.
Yeah, that poor guy.
That poor guy. That must have been really hard. But currently we're on day 18, as we record this, of this shutdown. Pretty soon it will be the longest shutdown in government history.
Right on. That's something he'll probably be proud of, right?
Yeah, I think he will. I said that a couple of days ago on he's going to be bragging. The longest government mm-hmm. shutdown in history. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody talking about this today. Native American communities are really hit hard by this because government funding does all of their infrastructure.
Native American communities are hit hard by a lot of things that are happening recently.
And we need to be better about letting my mind go there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that didn't occur to me until somebody said that.
Well, even the P.O. Box stuff where it's like, they're required to have this and so they can't get this. And so now they're screwed.
Yeah. And so now people are coming up on their first paycheck that they're going to miss. I mean, I love how when this first happened, people are like, oh, they're still getting paid or whatever. They just got their paychecks. Yeah, dummy, they got their paychecks for the stuff that happened before the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's Christmas time and they're traveling and it's the holidays and they're not going to get the next money that they're expecting. Yeah. And so now's the time where people are actually going to really be feeling it. Most alarming, but some of you guys, I tweeted this and deleted it because so many people were arguing with me and I figured I'd just talk
That's
about
no
it.
Fun. Yeah.
But the airports, say what you will about TSA, if you're worried about a terrorist threat, that's not a place that you want impacted, yo.
I heard a story. Someone was saying I went through the security and I was like, do I need to take off my shoes? And the TSA agent was like, I don't care. I'm not getting paid.
Yep. I mean, lots of that. I mean, TSA agents straight up aren't showing up to work. They're calling in sick because
they're not getting
paid. But it's also not just that. It's maintenance crews. Mm-hmm. It's everybody
Yeah, I mean, the parks, the national parks.
Of course, there's the national parks. But literally, if you didn't see this, the Airline Pilots Association, which I guess represents 61,000 pilots, wrote this strong letter criticizing.
That's so much more than 21 pilots. Sorry, go ahead.
It really is. Exponentially more, criticizing this holding the government ransom, explaining some of what happens under the shutdown, mechanical inspections, drone oversight, communication systems, all of that are threatened, air traffic controllers, airspace system maintenance, all of these people. And it's not just the TSA screeners that are calling in sick. We're talking about all of these people aren't getting paid. There was one story, people were at the airport with signs saying, your airplane hasn't been checked. This is really fucking scary. So don't write me off when I say that that's actually the real problem here, because it is the real problem here.
My flight was delayed because it wasn't checked on my way home.
See? Oh, is that true?
That was one of the reasons it was
That's crazy.
Because they overdid something. It doesn't matter. It's fine. I'm here.
I mean, that's actually a way bigger priority than a wall.
Also, the FDA is not inspecting food. which is interesting considering it's right off the heels of don't eat lettuce. So that's another issue. It's
just chaos.
Yeah.
And like you said, the national parks, they aren't closed, but people aren't there. I guess there have been people dying at parks because there aren't the proper workers to help.
For safety. And
then there's the hygienic issue.
And litter, and obviously.
One of my girlfriends wants to do a little birthday trip in February and floated Joshua Tree, and someone was like, oh, the shutdown. And I was like, if the shutdown's still going on, then we're all fucked. And now it's like, maybe it will.
Yeah.
But hey, at least he didn't declare a state of emergency last night.
At least he didn't declare a state of emergency.
Yet.
Something that is done by perhaps authoritarians when it's in response to something that is actually not a crisis.
Yeah.
Maybe sort of inventing a crisis and then declaring a state of emergency.
Yeah.
Is maybe something we should all be concerned about.
I sure am.
But maybe people who are in charge, but also maybe who are on his side of the aisle should maybe be concerned about him.
Yeah. Maybe they should have been concerned a long time ago. Maybe they are, and they're too cowardly to admit it.
Maybe they talk about it to each other all the time at the gym, but not in public. Or because maybe they fear him.
Maybe that's definitely true. Like that story I told on here about Adam Schiff saying he'll pass Republicans in the hallway and they'll say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cowards.
Speaking of cowards, let's talk about the Senate.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If you guys have you seen, I can't hear your answer, so you don't actually have to respond.
Just shout loudly.
The reporting on the S1 bill. It's cool if you haven't. We're going to talk about it right now. Historically, the first new bill in a U.S. Senate or House, the new term, generally symbolizes the priority of the assembly, mm-hmm. you know, and apparently for the Senate, this new priority is protecting Israel.
Should have been like voting or something.
Should have been voting. I mean, it should have been reopening the government.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
So, okay, they introduced the new bill and we're going to talk about that. But just so you know, yesterday, I guess they voted to delay voting on it. So they're not shutting it down, but they're not making it their very first bill, but they tried to.
Yeah, they keep trying to.
But because of this crisis, so they're going to try to work towards getting the government opened and then come back to this. This bill deals with foreign relations issues, but there's a specific measure in it that was put forth by Marco Rubio, and it gives state and local governments explicit legal authority to boycott any U.S. companies that participate in boycotting Israel. And it's not just Rubio. There's actually a lot of bipartisan mm-hmm. support. Apparently, Chuck Schumer is apparently supporting it mm-hmm. as it stands now. And that's an alarming to me and a lot of people. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
26 states have already enacted some version of this law to punish people who participate in or support, you know, the boycott of Israel. And there are similar laws pending in like 13 states.
Wait, so you're saying that if somebody expresses their freedom of speech, then the government can punish them for that.
Correct. That is what this is.
Interesting.
And so already states are doing it, but this bill is supposed to like strengthen like the mm-hmm. legal standing that the states have to do that.
That's cool.
It's not that cool.
It sounds really cool though.
Well, it's actually not. I know it sounds flashy mm-hmm. and cool, but the problem is, I mean, already that's a problem, but it doesn't really stop there, because what we're seeing is it being used to punish individuals.
Yeah.
We're more and more contractor-based mm-hmm. economy. So in those states, this has actually been a real thing. There's been a lot of situations where individuals have lost their jobs by either boycotting or refusing to sign something that says that they would never boycott it.
Yeah. And I promise to not exercise my freedom
right,
of speech.
Like, even it's literally already happening, and that's such a blatant.
But aren't you more concerned about kids on college campuses protesting speakers? Isn't that more of a threat to
free
speech?
It is very threatening. Free speech is a threat to my free speech.
Yeah.
So it's a confusing situation. Two federal courts have already ruled against this shit. You know, they've already said.
Good for the federal
in Kansas
courts.
And Arizona, too. Yeah. You know, they've said they're, quote, unconstitutional violations of the First Amendment speech rights of American citizens. Right there.
Obviously.
It's right there.
I can't handle Marco Rubio's tweets about this.
I know. Do you want to share some of this with us?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't either.
It's bonkers, and I've responded to him a bunch, and of course he's not going to respond to me, but like, my God, it's one of those, like, we see it more and more, especially with like the marginal tax rates.
Right.
Of like, are you lying or are you dumb? Or is it like a weird
some
combination
sort of, combo?
Of both? So like Bernie tweeted something about how this is bad and it's like a violation of, you know, freedom of speech and so on. Marco responded, "This is a lie. My bill doesn't punish any political activity. It protects the right of local and state governments that decide to no longer do business with those who boycott Israel." So boycotting Israel is a constitutional right. This is not his tweet, but like...
Yeah.
So like... It's just so obviously wrong. And like, he's contradicting himself in the tweet. Like,
yeah, I know.
It doesn't punish any political activity. It just punishes political activity. So if you engage in political activity, the government can punish you for it.
Right.
And like, he does this other one I won't find, but like, it's like, no, it's just like, yeah, you have the freedom of speech to boycott Israel, and the government has the freedom of speech to boycott you.
The government doesn't need his freedom of speech protected.
And I keep asking him, what is the difference, Marco, as a senator? Like, you're a senator. You were elected to be a senator for the United States government. What is the difference between an individual doing something and the government doing something, specifically in relation to freedom of speech? It is wild that he can get away with this. And there aren't every single person saying, Marco, you're wrong about this. You're obviously wrong about this.
Right.
You're objectively wrong about this. Read the First Amendment. What is it referring to?
Yeah.
It makes me so frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, he just straight up contradicts himself.
Boycotting Israel is a constitutional right, but boycotting those participating in it is not.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
But you're the government, so maybe it's not the same thing.
I mean, it's basically saying my bill doesn't punish political activity. It's allowing state and local governments to punish for political activity.
It's so insane.
It is nuts. And that feels like a good time to take a quick break.
Thank goodness.
And don't worry, we'll be right back.
Oh, thank goodness.
Perhaps Marco Rubio needs to improve his reading comprehension skills, something he could do via Skillshare, an online learning community for creators and learners with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, technology, and more.
You can take classes in creative writing, marketing, and other categories that, for Marco's sake, I hope include a very basic and easy to understand explanation of the First Amendment. Skillshare is a great resource for cheap learning, or in the case of even more news listeners, that's you! 2 months of free learning, hopefully contributing to a lifetime of learning, because if you stop learning just because you become a senator, maybe you'll become Marco Rubio.
Lifelong learning is obviously important. Folks should keep expanding their knowledge and skills and tools that they can use in life. Skillshare can not only help with learning new things, but can help you get better at learning, at sticking to goals, at not procrastinating.
For example, stop procrastinating and go to Skillshare.com/news and sign up for 2 free months of Skillshare, an offer for even more news listeners. That's still you if you go to Skillshare.com/news.
Repeat that for me.
Slash news?
No, the whole thing.
Go to Skillshare.com/news.
And we're back for even more news.
Woo!
Let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Woo!
Woo-hoo. Love her. Everyone has opinions on AOC. Mm-hmm. Some of them are valid. Most of them are garbage.
Mm.
Even Whoopi Goldberg thinks that she needs to slow her roll and listen to her elders.
Sure.
That's not her direct quote. But
it's not her direct quote.
You know, just kind of rolled off my tongue and I...
But basically, listen to your elders.
It really is. And we've talked about this before, but it's fascinating to see the way she's handling her job and the attention she's getting. Mm-hmm. She's just a master of social media.
Yeah, she's real good.
You know, and nothing pisses off conservatives more than a sassy...
And her ideas are normal.
Woman. And her ideas are normal. Well, first, let's talk about the 4 Pinocchios rating that she got and everyone freaked out about. The Washington Post fact checker gave her a 4 Pinocchio. On her claim that there was $21 trillion in waste at the Pentagon. And then after she addressed it on Anderson Cooper, a lot of Twitter took her response out of context to make it seem like she was saying that being morally right is more important than getting facts right. But that isn't quite what she said.
It's not what she said.
I mean, there's an element of people jump down your throat about this thing when you're missing the bigger picture. But what she actually said was, if people want to really blow up one figure here or one word there, I would argue that they're missing the forest for the trees. I think that there's a lot of people more concerned about being precisely, factually, and semantically correct than about being morally right. And he interrupts. She says, and whenever I make a mistake, I say, okay, that was clumsy. And then I restate what my point was. But it's not the same thing as the president lying about immigrants. It's not the same thing at all. And she is right. People are so quick to jump down her throat about a misspoken fact, a misstated fact. And granted, she does make some of those mistakes and she is young and she is learning, but that doesn't make her argument less valid.
Right.
Okay, let's correct this. You're right. Let me fix this. But let's get back to the actual point.
So many people are cutting off the last part where she says and if somebody says well, that's not actually accurate, I will correct myself and restate my argument correctly, which I don't know if you are familiar with the president, but he has never admitted that he's wrong about anything ever in his life.
And those same people that are outraged about her could give a fuck about the president lying. you know, by and large.
I'm going to point out to a specific interaction. I think it's really representative of the alleged discourse. Like, you have these very supposedly, like, reasonable, logical, fact-based, civil sort of crowd of conservatives. I will put them all under this sort of Daily Wire type umbrella.
Okay.
This is the website of Benjamin Shapiro. Mm-hmm. Michael Knowles, who works there, said, in response to one of AOC's tweets about, like, fact-checking and stuff, he said that, "You just stated on national television that it can be morally wrong to be factually correct." Which is
absolutely not what she said.
An obvious and gross distortion of what she actually said. And I like tweeted the whole quote at him and was like, well, no, she didn't actually say that. And he came back. He's like, actually, she did indeed, both literally and by presenting a false dichotomy between semantic correctness and moral rightness, which are by definition synonymous. And I'm not going to unpack that and how he's just still so wrong. And like those things aren't by definition synonymous, but whatever. He said that she said it can be morally wrong to be factually correct.
And it's literally not a thing she said.
Not what she said. And it's just so blatantly disingenuous to frame it like that. And it's so obvious they're so terrified of her because she is very good at this and her ideas are normal. And when she says like, oh, this 70% marginal tax rate, and it's just like...
Well, we'll talk about that.
It's very frustrating when
people say that. I completely agree. It is. And it's very blatantly hypocritical.
Right. Like people are worried about being precise than moral. You know, no,
it's not. And I will say that part of this attention, I think it would serve her to really, like, the Pentagon waste statistic. Okay, maybe that might be wrong. I'm sure that there's some slivers to be taken from that. I'm sure that there's ways that you can use money better in from different places. But, like, that's a big specific number to be putting out there.
Yeah.
And I think that it sucks that there's, like, a double standard. But yeah, I think with all of this attention and the way people are reacting, it would behoove her to make sure that those things are right.
Sure.
And we make mistakes, and that's fine. But that's like
and
the
kind
did, of...
And she did, and she said so. And yeah. Like, she's not like, if I said the real number, it would be morally wrong of me, which is what they're claiming that she says.
But the positive spin of this is that she's really making a difference. She is actually moving the ball down the court.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that 70% thing. Like, that's actually, if you guys haven't seen this, everyone also started freaking out when she had this unprecedented idea that actually isn't unprecedented, that there should be like a 70% tax rate on people who've earned over $10 million, which does not mean that the entire $10 million will get taxed at that rate. It means that every dollar earned over $10 million gets taxed at that rate.
Yeah.
But they're blatantly lying about that by saying that this is unprecedented when, like, even when Nixon was in office and Eisenhower, yeah,
it was over
up
70
to like 90
for 50
something.
Years. It was over 70%.
Yeah. But also saying that what she means is that all of your money will be taxed like that, because that's not what she means.
This is another Daily Wire thing. They keep saying it. They keep like presenting it like it's saying like we're going to tax everything. And like if they're going to tax that, I'm just not going to work because all my money is going to be taken away. Mm-mm.
And it's just so fascinating to see these very same people who can't stop talking about how this nitwit and her four Pinocchios rating on this thing are also just so blatantly lying, and they know that they are.
It's very insidious. I saw a poll that was like about like how many people didn't understand the concept of marginal tax rates, and like the majority of Democrats do understand, but there are still some people that don't, and Republicans don't on the whole. And it's just very telling. Like, yeah, you're trying to make people not understand what they mean so that it doesn't happen.
Right.
Then you have like in the interview, Anderson Cooper was like, they were talking about the 70% tax rate, and he's like, wow, like that's pretty radical. How much money do you make, Anderson?
Right.
Do you make maybe like $11 million a year or something like that? Maybe like you're worried about like that extra bit and you want people to think this is crazy. Like even Ben Shapiro was like, in response to her saying 70%, said like, all she has to do is not say something batshit, but she can't even do that.
I know.
Are you kidding me? 50 years of this tax rate, man, and above, and you think this is crazy? We want to make America great again, but not that part.
Not that part.
We couldn't possibly do that part.
But I wonder if that part was helping to make America great.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I like, oh.
It does make me very angry, and I have to be like, I mean, my jaw drops.
it's the liar, dumb, or both thing again. Maybe I'm just very upset right now.
Maybe.
But like, I just keep seeing more and more of that, of like, you're only lying.
Yeah.
And like, obviously this is not new. has worked for many, many years.
And it's politics too.
Politics, obviously. And like, I'm not saying like they're the only ones that do it, but this one is really blatant.
Yeah.
And they're like doubling down on it. They haven't confronted yet that they are really misrepresenting the truth here.
Yeah.
Lying.
But again, to bring it positive, she is actually making real waves in the party.
People are. Kamala Harris was like today. She's like, oh, I think it's great.
Absolutely. It's common sense. And it's one of my most important things. I'm thrilled to pay for the Green New Deal. Hell fucking Let's use it to pay for other shit too.
Yeah.
If we can. I don't know how money works. But the other way that we're seeing this new energy invigorate the country are on more local levels. Mm-hmm. Both Gavin Newsom and Bill de Blasio, New York, have introduced pretty sweeping proposals. I guess it's not even a proposal in New York. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Providing health care. For California, it's not as expansive. Well, I mean, it's for the whole state, though. But it includes a major expansion of Medi-Cal to include, and even to include young illegal immigrants, returning to the mandate requiring that all residents have insurance, which protects against rate increases, subsidies for middle-class families. And in New York City, they're going to have universal health care for everybody.
Yeah.
That's incredibly cool. Mm-hmm. And that is this young energy being brought in. That's what these people, I mean, I don't doubt that they're aiming for higher office and that this is maybe political. But yeah, read the wins, guys. Yeah, let's go, politicians, catch up.
Yeah, this is really good. And I hope they follow through with it. I hope it happens. And I do want to give a brief, like a very short shout out.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is getting buried in all the excitement for this.
Yeah.
I see a lot of less lefty, more like liberal pundits and sort of people in that realm talking about how like these policies are great and like, oh, AOC, she's saying this and this and this, who not 2 years ago were railing against Bernard Sanders for saying the exact same things. And I do think that it would
I'm not going to fault them for that. Specifically, I understand it's frustrating.
I do. I
wish that you had a different attitude a couple years ago. Thank you for being there now.
But they need to acknowledge that. Like, I think it's very frustrating to me for them to be like, oh, these are great. And like, I'm cool now. This is the cool new thing. When you were railing against it 2 years ago and you won't like reconcile those two things. You can't acknowledge that like, yeah, you were just going along with the flow and now you're going along with the flow now. Now that you have this like very popular young congresswoman saying these things, now you're on board. And I want them to apologize to America because I think that they stalled it. And I think we're moving towards Medicare for All in a big way.
Yeah.
And I think it is exactly because of him. Like, he influenced her so much. Yeah, she's doing this because
I disagree with you about owing an apology. I think that's just the way change in the world works.
I don't need an apology.
Well,
I just need
you did say apology. And that would be interesting to see people being like, yeah, my opinion's changed on this and here's why. But for a lot of people, they didn't believe a couple years ago it was possible. So like, even if that's the thing that they want, they might at that point, and things were drastically different, they didn't believe that the climate was such that it would work. And in a backhanded way, thanks Trump for that, because everybody's been revitalized and like are paying attention like they weren't before and are, you know, having these conversations. So the conversation's spreading and it wasn't the same thing. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying like to me, I don't feel I am owed an apology necessarily, but I totally understand where you're coming from and what you're saying. And like, I get that feeling.
Well, and I guess, again, I don't want like a written apology.
Right.
From
I can't let that go.
I know.
Cody wants an apology.
I want them to apologize. I want them all to call me up and apologize to me. But like this idea that like they didn't think it was possible then and now they do because of this like excitement, I don't think that should matter. I think that anything is possible. And I think that if you say it enough, it's possible and probable, especially if it's the right thing to do, especially if you have the facts behind you, especially if you can look at every other country in the world and say that they have it too, and especially if you can look at polls and say the majority of people actually support this, even 2 years ago. Like, when they're like, well, I didn't think it was possible, then you're useless, because if you are only saying things that you think are possible at that time, then what good are you?
I understand. News reporter's job?
I'm not talking about news reporters. I'm talking about pundits.
Oh, okay.
But like actual anchors, and like, yeah, you just read the news. But when it's like this class, this very rich elite class of political punditry who go with the wind and are like all in for Hillary and think that crazy Bernie has these crazy ideas, and suddenly, oh, well, now I think this is a really good idea. I think we should do this.
I hear you.
I challenge and I question why that is, and I think that
because
they shouldn't be taken seriously because of what those reasons are.
Okay. I hear you.
My real point is, thank you, Bernie, for saying healthcare is a human right for a year.
Your real point is that you still are mad about it, and I get it.
Yeah. Yes.
And I hear you, and I get that. Pundits, sure, I think that there's a different thing, but I still come back to, I don't think that they thought it was possible, and
anything is possible.
And I know that, Cody, but that's a hard thing for a politician to say. I understand intellectually. I agree with you about what I want, and I wish, not completely, I just agree with you. But I also, the voice inside me goes like, well, also, like, I don't care anymore. Let's keep going. Keep this going. I'm grateful. Come on, join
the
fold.
Sure, I'm grateful. And I just know that we're, not, I'm not saying like he created her, but like there was a big influence of the things that he said.
And I also don't think that people aren't acknowledging that, but people in power can do a better job of giving him more respect.
That's my thing. It's just like people in power who are like really rich and like are like, ah, crazy
guy.
You'll
start seeing it happening soon. People saying we should have listened to Bernie.
I don't think that'll happen.
As soon as I said it, I did that like face. No, that's not.
It's
what
never gonna happen.
Gonna
and
say.
Like, this is maybe the only time I'll ever mention it, but it's just frustrating.
But I do
to see.
Think that we like. I know anything is possible. I hear you on that. But we are seeing about as quick of a manifestation of that as I could have ever dreamed of from that conversation, from the time when we were having that conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, even if like we want this, we're pushing for it. Even in my mind, I'm like, it's still going to take a long time to get more and more people on board. And that is because of the hugely different circumstances that
for
we
sure.
have now.
We're in a different climate now. And
these conversations,
I'm so grateful for
just,
her and everyone who's talking about it.
Right. Flat out, we're not being had in the same real way. And being taken as seriously because mm-hmm. the world was very different. Mm-hmm.
They should start saying that water is a human right too.
Well, that's the next step. We'll okay. start that. Well, that's about our time today. Welcome back to work.
Welcome back to work, everybody.
We got a show we're shooting this weekend.
Oh,
so look forward
wait.
To that.
Yeah.
And we love you very much.
That's true. We do love you very much.
Bye.
Bye.